Mostly I performed menial tasks in the print room. I rose early to stoke the fire, sweep the floor, and dampen the sheets of paper prior to his daily experiments with the printing press. A machine he'd had specially adapted from the wine presses in the region. This latest model consisted of a sturdy, upright wooden frame with a lever and screw that lowered a heavy plate onto an artfully arranged tray of type, which he slid beneath. The inked letters then transferred their message to the paper he inserted sheet by sheet. We could print multiple copies of a text for as long as the type lasted. Books would no longer have to be copied laboriously by hand. We could print them with this machine. The invention, Herr Gutenberg believed, would change the world. Sometimes he allowed me to mix the inks. This was a messy business that involved blending the soot from our lamps with varnish, with just a splash of urine added in for good measure. "The secret ingredient," he said with a smile. But what I really enjoyed was composing type. This was my special task, a job reserved for my fingers alone. For a few hours each day while the workmen operated the press, I would sit at a low trestle table with hundreds of bits of metal type, a broken alphabet in front of me. Piece by piece, I would string the letters together to form words, sentences, and finally, whole passages of text, always mirror images of the examples my master set before me. Backwards writing, he called it. I excelled at it. Even better, I was learning to read. So far, we had experimented with basic Latin primers for the law students who thronged the city, but my master had recently set his sights on greater, bolder initiatives. Bibles. This was where the real money lay. There were always people hungry for the Word of God. All we needed was additional backing from our investors and a chance to prove that our books were every bit as beautiful and accurate as those produced by the most accomplished scribes. Unbeknownst to my master, I was also practicing the art of printing on my own. Already, I had put my name on a little toolkit he had given me on my first anniversary, a soft leather pouch containing my picks, awls, and chisels. One by one, I added the letters in my composing stick and then punched them into the leather with the utmost care, gradually assuming my new identity. ENDYMIONSPRING Endymion Spring. The letters were a little crooked, but the name stuck. I knew that my skill impressed him. Herr Gutenberg said that I had swift fingers, but an even swifter mind. I was growing into a fine apprentice, a real printer's devil, he said half-jokingly, dislodging my cap and mussing my hair. I wanted to tell him that he was growing into a fine father, too. But I didn't. I couldn't. My voice, like everything else, had been taken from me at birth.